Okay. We're starting off Parshas Tezriya Metzora. So it goes like this. Everybody basically knows what we're talking about, but there's a famous question that's always asked. By Dabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Dabro B'nei Yisrael Lemor, Isha Ki Tezriya, speak to B'nei Yisrael saying, if a woman, what's going on Josh? Isha Ki Tezriya, if a woman gives birth, I guess you could say, the oldest Zohar, gives birth to a male. The Talmud, she has Yamin Kamei Dastavu Sati Ma, she'll be telling for 7 days as she would if she were a Nida. On the eighth day, you give him a bris milah. Give him a bris milah. Okay, so strange. Why mention the mitzvah of bris milah over here? It has nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about the tumah of a woman. The tumah of a woman is for 7 days. And the pasuk goes on about that. It says 33 days. She's going to sit in that tahara. Then it goes into a woman. If a girl is born, then it's 14 days and 66. There's no reason to bring up the bris milah. There's no chiyuv of bris. What does that have to do with the woman? The woman doesn't even have the chiyuv of bris. It goes on to the father. And it probably doesn't apply to women, obviously. So what in the world are we talking about over here with, number one, bris milah? Number two, there's got to be a connection between the parshiyos. So last week's parsha of Shemini, even though we didn't have shir, talked about, surprisingly enough, they still read it, even though there's no shir. A surprise as well. But there are animals toward the end of the parsha, and it goes through v'skadisha v'isim kadoshim, you should be holy in what you eat and everything, and then all of a sudden it goes into this, by Dabar Shem Moshe Lemor, it goes into tumas leida, then it goes into the mitzora, obviously, tzoras, for a parsha and a half, and then at the very end it goes into ziva, and shechman zera, and all these diseases, or things that happen to a person, when a person is together with his wife, and when a person is just done doing something, what's the deal with this? Why is there a connection between the parsha? So those two questions. I'm sorry?
We're like
animals. It's actually not a bad call. There's a medrash that says the following. Just like by Maisa Bereishis, in the creation of the world, animals were created before people, so too now, animals are before people. Meaning the halachos of the animals come first, and then comes the halachos of people. So we started off with the halachos of animals, then we go into the halachos of people. Now the problem with this medrash, clear problem with it, is have we had no halachos up until now? Has the Torah started with halachos of animals, and then it goes into halachos of people? No. We've had tons of parshiyos about halachos. This whole Vayikra Tzadim Shmini, up until the time of the animals, is all talking about what the Kohanim do with the korbanos, parshas Mishpatim, parshas, and if you go on into parshas Truma, into Tzitzaveh, building the Mishkan, and then going out and making the Big Day Kuna, clearly there are other mitzvos. Clearly there are other things going on. So what in the world does it mean that we start with the animals, and then we go straight into people? Okay, so we have another medrash, and here the Shemi Shmuel takes it a little bit further. Medrash is the following. Achor v'kedem tzorasani. God created us first and last. Or literally, the pasuk says last and then first. So what were we? Were we created last or first? So the medrash tells us, if we're zoche, then Hashem tells us, you were created before the entire world. You were made before anything else in the world was created. But if we're not zoche, if we sin, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu says, you know who was born before you? A worm and a gnat. A worm and a yitosh, a fly, whatever it is, was born before you. So you're lower than the lowest gnat and the lowest worm. I haven't said anything yet. I've just gone into questions so far. I haven't really said anything at all. The problem is, I don't get it. What was created first? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I'm sorry? Well, there is a Lech HaTov on this. Yeah, he goes into why the gnat and why the Sholshu, I believe. I believe he goes into that. But no, this is not going to be a vote from the Lech HaTov. This is from the Shemi Shmuel. The Shemi Shmuel asks, what does that mean? What does that mean? Were we created first or were we created last? That's the Shemi Shmuel. Our neshama was created first. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our neshamos before anything in the world was created. Yisrael was created before. What does it mean Yisrael was created before the earth, before anything in this Bereishis? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the neshamos of Klal Yisrael, all the abilities of us to be able to live in this world, but spiritually, He created those first, then He created the world, and He did everything on each day, the first, second, third, etc., each day, and then, after that, obviously one of the last things that was created was man. After all the fish, and after all the birds, and after all the bugs, and after all the animals, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and created us on the sixth day, toward the end of the day. And yes, there were other things that were created, the Shadim, and this and that and the other, all the other things that were created, Ben HaShmashos of Erev Shabbos, that's fine. But we were created first, neshamos-wise, and last, goof-wise. So what does that mean? If we concentrate on neshama, and our neshama, we do things for the spiritual reasons, for the right reasons, for the, you know, to do things because of ruchnias and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything like that, then we're first. then we're first, because that was created first. But if we concentrate on our gashmias, and we only care about what we eat next, or what we drink next, or what we're going to do next within our bodies, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'd rather have a gnat and a fly. I'd rather have a gnat, a fly, a worm, I'd rather have those. Because when it comes to physicality, I created them before I created your physical bodies. Your physical bodies came after them. So it depends on what you're concentrating on. So the Torah did go in order. Now I got the answer to the question. Because all the mitzvos up until now, we're talking about mitzvos that affect your neshama, that affect your spiritual growth, the Mishkan, and the Korbanos, and all the parts of Mishpatim which were dinim, and dinim yizikin, which even though that obviously they deal with things that, you know, a person does to another person, they deal with our spiritual growth, how we're supposed to live, and how we're supposed to get up, and how everybody's supposed to, you know, live their lives in a normal way, to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the spiritual uplift, the spiritual growth that we have, that we're supposed to have with our neshamos. But last week's parsha, we talked about your bodies. What you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. What animals are good for you to eat, what animals you're not allowed to eat. Now, there is spiritual growth in there, without a question. But it's a physical thing of you eating. Once we go into physical things, then we say animals come before people. And we talk about the halachas of what you're allowed to eat. And then we go into the physical person himself and we say, you know what? If you go ahead and you have a baby, you're going to have a tumor on your body. You're going to have blood flowing from your body for 7 days. Then the blood that flows from your body is tahor. And then there's all these different types of things that happen. And the pasuk even goes into a bris milah, which is an act that you do to your body. Then it goes into tsaras, that happens on your body. Then it goes into zava, ziva, which comes from your body. Then it goes into balkeri, which is something that comes from your body. All the things that have to do with the goof. So when it comes to things that have to do with the goof, so one thing comes before the next. That's a little bit hard. Because we have to understand what tsaras is. Is tsaras really just a body ailment? It's just leprosy, as they call it? It's just something that has to do with, you know, like a skin type of a thing? So first, before we answer that, we have to go into something. Why didn't the HaKadosh Baruch Hu make our goof and neshama together? Why not, in the first day of creation, just make man? And have him, like, wait there with him. You know, just have him, like, holding by a string, like a puppet, waiting. And then when you needed to put him in the world, after everything was created, throw him down in there. Or, why not delay our neshamas? Why not wait to create our neshamas till the very end? Number one, why not do it that way? Why couldn't we be created together? The pshat is, you know, sometimes you have like this, you have this like feeling, you know, I want to do something good. I really want to do something good. I just feel like, you know, I feel uplifted. Maybe it's because you went to a certain Pesach hotel. Maybe it's because somebody said something that really affected you. Maybe it could be because of anything. It could be because of the food you ate. Just have a spiritual growth. And there's sometimes where you sit there and you're just like, you know, I just don't feel like getting up this morning. You know, I don't want to, even when I'm davening, you know, I just don't feel like concentrating on my Shemoneh Esrei. I just don't feel like learning. I just don't feel like, and even showing up because there's a Bulls game, because there's something going on. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. They're down? They're getting killed? Oh, too bad. Too bad. But either way, you just don't feel like it. You just say to yourself, you know what, I don't want to be there. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. If your goof and your neshama were together, it's your body that throws you down. If your goof and neshama were connected to one another, it'd be very hard to pull yourself out. Because just like your goof went down, your goof brought down your neshama. It'd be good if you brought yourself up. The goof and the neshama brought up the goof. It's very hard to go back down. But if you go down, if that does happen, it'll be very hard for you to pick yourself up. But now, our goof is separate from our neshama. So even if our body tells us, I think you should go to sleep until 11 o'clock this morning. I think you should just, you know, sleep a little extra, sleep in, don't pay attention, do whatever. Our neshama can still lift us up. Because our neshama is totally separate from our goof. So it worked out very, very well. It worked out very, very well for us. And that's the reason why they were separated, they were created at separate times to make it available for us to deal. But it goes into the whole thing. It's a Raza Gashmi thing. Is it a physical thing? Or is it a spiritual thing? So here's how it goes. This is Machlokas Rambam Ramban. This is the famous one, but I'm not going to concentrate on this Machlokas is here. By what?
They were separate in Adam.
Yes, even in other region, he had the goof and the neshama separated, meaning his goof was created on the sixth day, his neshama was created on the first day, before the first day started. That definitely was happening. The difference between them is that other region had all of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael. He had every neshama of all people of Klal Yisrael that could ever exist, and he had all the neshamas of all the goyim. He had everything. He had everything. Certain ones were taken from him to become whatever, but he was there. So the Rambam says, yes. It's a regular Rambam, meaning Maimonides, says that it is a natural sickness. It's a cholia mista bekis, which means it is contagious. It is catchy. So if you have it, you have to stay away from people. And the Kohanim were basically like doctors, and they really did take care of you. The Ramban says absolutely not. The Ramban goes into all these different halachas that you have by tzaras that don't exist anywhere else. And he says clearly, it is not a physical ailment. It's not something that person would normally get. So what does the Ramban say? He says, plus it's pashut. How does tzaras apply to clothing and houses? How could you ever get it? It just wouldn't exist. There's no such thing as a natural form of leprosy that goes on clothing and houses. It just doesn't exist. The Rambam will have to say, well, there's a little bit of a miracle that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, but it's mostly a normal thing to have. It's mostly a normal thing to happen. It's just strange. Okay, here's the deal. Says the Ramban. If we're shleimin, we're shalim, and we do the Ratzon Hashem, we do everything that God wants us to do, and then all of a sudden we do something wrong, we do one thing that's wrong, Hashem makes us, ready for this? He makes us ugly. He looks at you and he says, what's wrong with you? He brings you a certain type of a beauty if you're doing what he wants you to do. So which people look at you and say, wow, that person's beautiful. He might not be a good looking guy, but people look at him and say, wow, he looks like a holy person. Similar to the way that people looked at Ramosha Feinstein. I don't know whether, I can't tell if guys are good looking or not, but if, thank God, but if Ramosha Feinstein was, let's say, a bad looking guy, people looked at him and said, wow, there is a beautiful person. Because he had a shine that came from his face. And when you looked at him, you saw that there was something that you wanted to be with. It was a different type of beauty, a different way of looking at beauty. And that's the idea that when you do something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu touches you. He gives you a nega, which is really the word of negia, of touching you. A plague, but a touch, which says, you're doing something wrong. Stop it. And the whiteness is to represent death, to tell you that you're chayiv to die for your sins, and you did something wrong, and everything like that. But the Pshat is, says the Ramban, it can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. It can't happen anywhere else, because Tomid Eini Hashem Elokecha Bo. Continuously, the eyes of God are in Eretz Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to Eretz Yisrael. He's looking at Eretz Yisrael, and he's saying, you shleimim that live in Eretz Yisrael, you people who are tzaddikim, who are gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, they're looking at him, and they're saying, you people, you did something wrong. So listen to me. And he touches you, and he says, listen to me. Stop it. Don't do it anymore. And he tells you, it's like a sign. It's the greatest thing that you could possibly have, says the Ramban. It tells you when you're doing something wrong, when you're doing something right. You'll know if you spoke Lashon Hara last night. It's no longer do I have to look it up in the Chafetz Chaim and look in the back and look in the index and go see, did I really do something wrong or not? You'll know. Because if you start getting a white spot, you'll know you did something wrong. We're not roi, we're not shalim enough to be able to get that type of a touch. It's a huge nace, says the Ramban, that they were able to be zochet to be able to get it. Now I'm going to give you another thing.
Isn't a zav and a zav the same thing? That's also
a zav and a zav is also a type of emission that comes from your body, which is not something that we have today.
Where is it?
It's similar to gonorrhea.
It was a spiritual type of...
Yeah, it was very much a spiritual type, and that's why it's in these parshios. Kari also, when it comes to Shekhba Zara, is also a spiritual type of thing. It can create a baby. I mean, it's not a pushy thing to be able to have. The ability to be able to create a baby. But that's, both those things are other issues. Kedushas Leib and Tzvarishma, it's for Shlomo that we can go through later on. But other than that, we're not going to, it's not to be darshan.
Well, the reason I asked that, because that's also the same type of idea where you're, Tzaras is right.
That's what you're saying. So yes, 100%, that's why it's in these parshas. That's why the end of Mitzora goes into Zav and it goes into Valkyrie, because there are such.
So it's not ideas. We're not talking about.
Let's not be physical. No, so that's why that we start off with the physical and we said that's the shot in the Rambam. But the Ramban says clearly it's purely spiritual. Nothing to do with that. But we're going to have to connect the two together. We're going to connect the two. We've got to explain another medrash.
That won't make sense. Medrash.
Yeah, with the original one. Rav Schwab says that when Moshe Rabbeinu first went to Bnei Yisrael and told them about Tzaras, told them that there was this concept that you're going to get Tzaras, and they're going to plague you with it, and these diseases and everything is, Bnei Yisrael got scared, and they started to run away. They said, oh, we're going to get these diseases, we're going to get the Tzaras, they started running away, started running out, and they said, we can't take this. Moshe Rabbeinu called them back and said, don't worry, Elu le'akum, le'umosa olam, according to some versions of the Medrash, those go to the Goyim. But for us, we'll eat, we'll drink, and everything will be okay, and you'll get to learn Torah. What's he talking about? Tzaras doesn't apply to Goyim. The whole concept, the whole parashas of Tzaras, none of it applies to Goyim. To be sent out of the camp and for the Kohen to go to, none of this applies to them. It only applies to us. It's not true at all. So what does it mean, Elu le'akum? You don't have to worry, it doesn't apply to us. And that's how we got them back? What's the answer? None of these halachas apply to them whatsoever. Says Rav Schwab, it depends. There definitely is a type of tzaraas that applies to Gaim. There definitely is. There's a physical tzaraas that applies to them. For example, Naaman, who's mentioned in the Haftorah of Parshas Mitzorah, becomes a Mitzorah. He gets tzaraas, and he goes to Elisha, and he asks Elisha to take care of it for him, and Elisha does, and he gets him to dip in the river seven times, in the Yarden River seven times. So there is a Mitzorah, a tzaraas, by a Goy. That tzaraas, says Rav Schwab, is the leprosy that we have today. Not exactly the leprosy, because our leprosy is not contagious. But it was a sickness, which is contagious, which is spots on the skin of a person. And that applies to Goyim. That sickness applies to Goyim. However, and even Gehazi, by the way, Gehazi ended up getting, and he was one of the four Mitzorahs that were outside a city, and they ended up being outside of the city and everything. They were outside of the city of Shomron, and they wouldn't go in. It wasn't because of anything. Shomron was not a walled city. Shomron was not a walled city that they had to be sent out of. The reason why they didn't go in the city is because it was contagious. They had something that was contagious, and they didn't want to go in because they were sick. But it was a natural sickness. It was not the tzaraas that we think of when we think of Tazria Mitzorah. But then there's another Mitzorah. There's a Mitzorah of the Parsha, where the only way to get rid of it is to go to a Kohen. It's the only way to be able to take care of it. Our Mitzorah is a kapara. He's got to do his bodidus. He's got to sit in his own. He's got to take care of himself. He's got to do all these different things. And it's a noga. It's a touch from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, what the Goyim have? They have the physical ailment. So perhaps that's the answer to the matter. When Moshe Rabbeinu was saying to Klal Yisrael, we're going to get these sicknesses, there's going to be these crazy negayim and crazy things all out there, he said, oh, they, how are we going to survive? He said, no. The physical ailment, the one which you feel further away from God, where God is making you sick, that doesn't apply to you. That'll apply to Goyim. Gehazi ended up getting it from Naaman, and that's why he was different. But that's for the Goyim. For you, for the Jews, you get a nega. You get a way to be closer to God. You're not further away from Him, you're closer to Him. You feel yourself like you're one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what ends up happening to Him. It's completely different. That's one way the Rav Schwab said it, and that'll answer up the Rambam and the Ramban. There's two types of tzaraas here. There is the tzaraas of our Parsha, which talks about the spiritual ailment. But the idea of what we're saying over here is that there's a physical type of tzaraas. It's not what we're talking about in the Parsha. The same way that the Mila is a way of spiritually, and there's Tuma and Tara within Dam Yoledes. It talks about the spiritual aspects of all these things. But it's a physical ailment of the body. And it goes into the physical ailment of the body, although it isn't discussed in these Parshas. The idea behind it is there, and that's why it's put after the animals, and that'll answer the question. But I'll give you another answer, and that's going to take us into Gehazi. Gehazi is going to be a big thing for this year. I don't know if everybody knows the story. I'm going to go through the whole story again. It's absolutely crazy. Gemara Nerchan asks, why does he sit outside the camps? Why can't he sit inside the regular city? Why does he have to sit all the way out there?
Where does he come into play?
Who? We're going to see him. We're going to see him in 1 minute. We're going to see him. He's mentioned in Malachim Beis. He's one of the Talmud. He's the Talmud Mufak of Gehazi, of Elisha. I'm sorry. Elisha, the Talmud Mufak of Eliyahu HaNavi. And we're going to see. We're going to see some things with him. We have a lot to do with him. But either way, so why did he sit outside the camp? Says the Gemara. What did the guy do? The guy who did tzaraas?
Took money from...
No. The guy did tzaraas. He got tzaraas because why? Lashon Hara. He was mavdil ben ish le'ishto. Mavdil ben ish le'chavero. He was separated two friends from one another, a man and his wife from one another. Did you hear what your husband said about you? Did you hear what your friend said about you? And because he did that, we say to him, now you're going to be separated from everybody else. Mita kenegamita. You separated that guy from that guy? Now you're going to be separated from everybody else. We won't be anywhere near you. Lashon Hara causes such problems that it shows how much you hate Kedusha. Why do I say that? If you love Kedusha, if you love holiness, then that means that you should love every person in Klal Yisrael. There should not be a single Jew that you don't love entirely, completely, with all your heart. Why do I say that? Because every Jew has an neshama that's kadosh. So if you see a Jew doing something, you should automatically look at him and say, that guy's a kadosh. He's a little bit off, but he's holy. He's a holy yid. The pintel yid, as they call it. The little bit inside him that's kadosh. He's got that little bit of holiness inside him. If you loved Kedusha, you would see that Kedusha and you would never say anything bad about anybody. Because nobody does anything bad. Everybody just has Kedusha. If you hate Kedusha, then you'll see the bad. And that way you'll talk about the bad. and you'll speak Lashon Hara, and you'll say horrible things, and you'll do horrible things, because you're a horrible person. That guy who hates Kedusha, you know what he's like? He's just like a Odei Avodah Zarah, those who worship idols. A goy, not only just stam a goy, a horrible goy. A goy who hates Jews, who wants to do anything to destroy Jews. That's what that guy's like. He's a Sone Yisrael. So the pshat in the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, don't worry. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about this Saras issue. Why? Because who gets Saras? Anybody who acts like a goy. But if you don't act like a goy, if you act like a Jew and you love Kiddush and you love holiness and you love all the good things, you'll never get Saras. That's what he told them. You la'akum, that's for the goyim. It's not for you. You won't have to worry about it. The Jews don't have to worry about it. That's their reason why. And that's why Lashon Hara is just as bad as Gilei Raya Shvichus Dami Avodah Zarah. Because through proper speech, you become a great person. Through bad speech, you become a goy. You are mamish a goy. And that's what caused Korban Bayis Rishon. Because we had Lashon Hara. And we caused the Beis Mikdash to be run by goyim. The goyim were there. There were no Jews left. Everybody was speaking Lashon Hara, and it was horrible. And that's the pshat behind it. And that's what makes us all completely off. And that's the pshat behind the Medrash. And that's what it means by Eilu Akum. Now let's go back to Gehazi. I'm going to tell you the whole story. Naaman goes to Elisha. Naaman is the king of an army. He goes up to Elisha and he says to Elisha, listen, I have Saras. A Jew, who's a maidservant by me, told me that I should go to you and you'll get rid of my Saras. You'll get rid of all my Saras. So Elisha said, I can get rid of it for you, but you have to dip into the Jordan River 7 times. Dip yourself in the Arden River 7 times. Naaman left Elisha and he said, come on, what mikvah? Noachim Beis, Parak Vav. Yeah, Noachim Beis, Parak Vav. I'm not saying anything that's not straight out possible. I'm not saying any midrashim right now. No midrashim whatsoever. Noachim Beis, Parak Vav. So he says it straight out. He goes up and he says, I don't want to dip myself in the river. I've been to all these mikvahs, I've been to all these watering cures. Jordan River is going to it's going to heal me. What is the Jordan River? It's nothing. So the Jew that was with him said, come on, you got to try it. If Elisha said it, I guarantee it'll work. So he said, okay, fine. He goes into the Jordan River, dips 7 times, comes out, Saras is gone. Goes back to Elisha and he says, take anything you want. I'll give you all the riches in the world. My life wasn't worth living until you healed me from this Saras. So Elisha said to him, listen, I don't want anything. I don't want to take anything from you whatsoever. You got healed? That's all I want. So, you know, the man was happy. Naaman was happy. He went back. Gehazi was really upset. Said to Elisha, how could you not take anything? The guy offered you all the money in the world and you didn't take it? What's wrong with you? How could you not take anything? So he runs after Naaman and tells Naaman, my master says that you should give a certain amount, this and this and that. And he takes a little bit, not as much as you should get. He got a good amount of stuff. And Naaman said, not a problem. He gives everything wholeheartedly. Gives everything wholeheartedly to Gehazi. Gehazi hides the stuff, goes back to Elisha, and Elisha says, you don't think I was with you when you went to Naaman? You don't think I saw exactly what you did, you Russia? From now on, the Tsaras of Naaman will go on you. You will have the Tsaras of Naaman until the end of your days. And Gehazi became a Mitzora, and not only him, but his children all became Mitzorayim. They all get Tsaras, this leprosy, this sickness, and they got it until the end of their days. Later on, Elisha was around during a siege of Shomron. There was a huge army that was led by a king called Ben-Hadad of Machne Aram. They surrounded the city of Shomron. This is Malchus Yisrael, not Malchus Yehuda. They surrounded the kings of Shomron. They say that the king at that time was named Yehoram. And they surrounded him. They were making everybody was starving. People were so starving, so hungry, they were eating their own children. And there's a maisa that a woman goes up to Elisha and said, this woman promised me that if we ate my son tonight, that we'll eat her son tomorrow night. And we ate my son last night, but then she hit her son, and now I don't have anything. And the people were going crazy. I mean, they were starving. A donkey's head cost thousands and thousands of dollars. A donkey's head to eat. They couldn't get any money. So finally, Elisha said, tomorrow God will make a miracle and there will be all the food in the world. Anything you want will all be here. The people didn't believe it. The people said, what are you talking about, Elisha? It's not going to happen. The next morning, Gehazi and the 3 Mitzorayim, it doesn't say Gehazi in the Pasuk. It says 4 Mitzorayim. 4 Mitzoras are outside of Shomron and they say, what are we doing out here? If we stay out here, we're going to die. We're going to starve to death. We might as well go to Machne Aram. If they have pity on us and give us some food, good. If they don't, we're going to die anyway. So you might as well go to them, and they'll kill us quicker than we starve to death. So Gehazi and the other three go over to the Machane Aram, and the whole place is deserted. There's no one there. Absolutely no one there. They look around, they start screaming, no one around. So they go crazy. They eat, they drink, they grab all this money and jewels and everything. They're like, you know what, we probably should tell the people. Tell the people that, you know, the whole army's gone. So they run to the city of Shomron, they go in to tell the king Yehoram, and Yehoram says, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And he sends out two horsemen to go check out if it was true. The two horsemen go out, they come back, they say, it's true. And the people storm out of the gates. And they go run around, somebody gets trampled to death, the guard that was there got trampled to death, and they go out and they grab all the food, they grab everything, and the price of food went down, obviously, because nobody needed food anymore, all this food was out there. It turns out that Gehazi saved the entire place, all of Shomron. At that, Reb Wolfson says, how do you know it's Gehazi? Number one, Reb Wolfson. Yes, how do you know it's Gehazi? There were four Mitzvahs. It doesn't say who they were. How does the Medrash know it was Gehazi? Where's the remez that it was Gehazi? That's number one. Number two, why didn't the king believe them? What did he have to lose? People were killing their children. Even if he would have, like, just go out there. What are you worried about? Four Mitzvahs are going to lie to you for what? For food? They don't have any food. Well, what are they going to gain by lying? What, they're taken by... You don't think that the king of Aram could find better people than four Mitzvahs to tell you a lie? What was the king thinking and not listening to them? That's number two. Number three, why did he all of a sudden believe two horsemen? It's because the horsemen went and they came back. You have four Mitzvahs, two horsemen. Four people are more believable than two. In fact, when the king was suggested, go send five horsemen, because five are better than four. He says, no, I'm only sending two. I'm sorry? They had five. They had a couple horses left, but he only sent two. Why? He said, no, two are eight. So four are even more than that. I mean, four should be even better. Why didn't he believe him? You're right. The question is, what's the word? But still, you're not going to, what do you have to lose by believing?
They're his horses.
You're 100% right. There is what to listen to. It's more the combination of the questions. What was it? Why wouldn't Yehoram just look out on top of his walls and go see where Machane Aram was? There's just so many questions. It's so weird. What is he doing? Why couldn't it be that they would just listen and then everything would happen? Here's what he says. The Ma'ore 9, Reb Wolfson says from the Ma'ore 9, if you're Zocha to tell over good news, then you have a neshama of Eliyahu HaNavi inside you. A mevaster besoros tovos. Who's the mevaster? Eliyahu HaNavi. He's the one that tells us all the good news in the world. Anything good that you want to hear is all from Eliyahu HaNavi. And if you say over good news to someone, that means that you have a need to. You have a spark of Eliyahu HaNavi inside you. And here's the pshat. Eliyahu HaNavi is the source of Chaim. Because Eliyahu HaNavi lives forever. He is all about Chaim. Eliyahu HaNavi is the Baal Bris. The Baal Bris comes on the eighth day. Eight is alone. Seven is this world. Eight is Olam Haba. Eliyahu HaNavi stands for Olam Haba. He stands for the next world. He doesn't stand for this world. Pure, pure Chaim. When Gehazi saw that he was the only one with his three mitzvahs to realize that all of Machane Aram was gone, he said to himself, I'm dead now. A mitzvah is considered like he's dead. How do I get life back? How do I heal myself? By going and telling over good news. And if I tell over good news, I'll get the nitzus of Eliyahu, I'll have Chaim inside me, and that Chaim will knock out my tzaras. It'll destroy my tzaras. And it won't be a mitzvah anymore. So we immediately ran with the other three mitzvahs straight to the king of Yisrael, to Yehoram, and told him, guess what? King of Aram is out. I'm telling you the best news in the world. But Yehoram didn't listen. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Elisha's curse to last. Elisha's curse was that you're going to be mitzvahs for the rest of your lives. You won't get healed. You'll never get healed. And because Elisha's curse had to last for the rest of their lives, they weren't allowed to be Mevaster Tov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it in Yehoram's head not to listen. So Yehoram said, even though he had nothing to lose, he said, I'm not going to listen to you. I want to hear from somebody else. So he wouldn't even look. He didn't go up on top of the wall to look to see if they were gone. All he did was he said, no, I'm not going to listen. I want to hear from somebody else. And the two people went out and the two people came back and they said, it's true. And they got the nitzutz of Eliyahu HaNavi. Because everybody listened to them, but not to Gehazi. So how do we know it was Gehazi? Who else had the curse of Tzaraas that couldn't go away? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't allow them to be listened to. Wouldn't allow them to become a master. The only person that's like that is Gehazi, who just got a curse from Elisha that he'd be a Mitzora Ad Olam. So it must be it was them. And that's why the king didn't listen. It was Mina Shamayim said the two, and that's why he sent out two horsemen, and then he listened to the two horsemen because they were the ones who HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get the nitzutz of Eliyahu HaNavi. That's why, hold on, before your question, by Gehazi, when they went and told, they said they told Beis HaMelech. Vayagidu Beis HaMelech, they told to the house of the king. But the two rochvim, Vayagidu LaMelech, they told the king. LaMelech is the gematria of 120, which is the gematria of Eliyahu HaNavi. Same gematria as Eliyahu HaNavi. And the pshat is because the two rochvim got that nitzus at Eliyahu HaNavi. Now what are you going to ask?
I say, like, someone comes and tells you so-and-so had a baby.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I don't believe it. And then you call them, you call the person, they find out, oh yeah, it's true.
That person is the Mavasar Tov. Because the news that you got in which you believed it was only from the second person.
So it's not the giving over, it's the
acceptance. The three other...
You wouldn't have thought of it unless...
They were all his sons. So those three sons were all him. They all had the same curse.
So it's not the giving over of good news, it's the acceptance of...
The acceptance of the good news. Because when you're Mavasar Tov...
You wouldn't have thought it unless they told it.
I hear what you're saying. You're definitely right. And because of that, Yaakov, there is a bestowal that was started through them. They do get rewarded, but not in this world. They got a reward that the curse of Elisha was only Ad Olam. The pshat is Rav Wolfson, Ad Olam Haba. That when it came to Olam Haba, they still got a chelik in Olam Haba after they died. In this world, they weren't allowed to lose their what's it called, their tzaraas. But once they died, they were. And therefore, they have a tikkun. You know what the tikkun is? We learn a halakha from Gehazi. The halakha is... You're normally not allowed to be healed by a goy, by an Ovid Akumish, by an Ovid Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to go to a Hindu doctor that worships idols. You're not allowed to be healed by such a person. However, if you're going to die anyway, and the only way for you to get better is through an Ovid Avodah Zarah, it's mutter. Where do we know that from? From Gehazi. Gehazi said, we're going to die anyway. We might as well go to Machne Aram. We might as well go to the Ovid Avodah Zarah. We learned that a lot from Gehazi. So when we go through that halakha, we pass in that halakha, it gives a tikkun for Gehazi's nefesh. And Gehazi goes up in Shemayim because of it. What? The Chai Bahem applies in certain situations. However, if the Chai Bahem does not apply by Gili Rais, Shmichos Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Going to an Ogad Avodah Zarah is still being Mahane to the Avodah Zarah. So it's still included within the Yisr. It's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the first parak, where it goes into giving Hanah to someone who worships Avodah Zarah. You still have a bit of a problem. It's not the same as worshiping, but you're showing the Ovid Avodah Zarah that I believe that you're the Ikkum. And the Ovid Avodah Zarah goes to Avodah Zarah and says, oh, look, the Jews are agreeing with me finally. So you're giving Hanah to it. Now here we go. I'm going to end off with this. It's just unbelievable. When it comes to Namu, getting the Tzaraas, so I don't get it. That Tzaraas ended up going to Gehazi. How did that work? Why did Gehazi get the Tzaraas from Naaman? What did that mean that Gehazi, like Elisha said to him, that's it, the Tzaraas of Naaman will be on you and your children forever. Why? Why not give him something else? Why not kill him on the spot? Why not just kill him? When you hear, you know, the rabbis got very upset at a guy and they gave him Tzaraas. Have you ever heard that before? The Rabbanan and the Gemara killed them all the time. Turn him into a pile of dust. They'll put their eyes on him and give him an Ein Hara and turn him into a pile of dust. But Tzaraas? When do the rabbis look at somebody and give him Tzaraas? When does that happen? So here's some shots. A Mitzora is called a mace. It's as if he died. Who's the person that's in charge of death? I shouldn't say the person. Who's the malach that's in charge of death? Who's the malach that kills? The malach amavis. That is a simple question. The malach amavis. Anything that's a form of death is done by the satan. So who gives a person tzaraas? The malach amavis. The malach amavis. I know we said nega before as in the noga, but we're talking about the goyish type of tzaraas, which is the leprosy of a sickness that makes you like you're dead, although the spiritual negiyah, the goyim also make you like you're dead. That tzaraas calls you like you're dead. If the malach ha-mavis gives something, the sabdan gives you something, you can't be mevatel. The sabdan's too powerful. Nobody can be mevatel the malach ha-mavis, just like we can't be mevatel death. You can't be mevatel teras. But what can you do? You could be mach with it. You could trade it. And you could say, instead of this guy having it, now this guy will have it. That's what you could do. Until Gechas, it was by Nama. So Nama and Saras. So very good, very good. Ready. See, here's what we should say. Normally, the way it goes is, when you have Saras by a Jew, you take the Saras of the Jew, and you're mach with it to the Goyim. You give it to the Umos Olam. You give it to our enemies. But to take it from a Goy and give it to a Jew? How do you do that? Here's the pshat. When Elisha...
Does that mean that as soon as you take it from the Jew,
it immediately falls upon a Goy somewhere? There's a loop in which some Goy somewhere becomes a Mitzorah. Now listen to this. This is just unbelievable. Elisha did not want to heal the Tzaraas of Nama. Because he'd have to go up to the Malach HaMavis, and the Malach HaMavis would say, how can you take away my Tzaraas? And he would have to trade it to a Jew. In theory, I guess he could have traded it to another Goy, but he didn't want to trade it. So how is he going to get rid of it? You can't be Mavatol Tzaraas. So he went to the Malach HaMavis with a Taina. He said, I'll give you a Taina. If we heal the Tzaraas of Naaman and we take it away, then we'll cause a great Kiddush Hashem. And even the Sultan wants to make a Kiddush Hashem. Even the Sultan does Kiddush Hashem. His whole job is to make a Kiddush Hashem happen by making you decide to go against him. The Sultan wants a Kiddush Hashem. So Elisha said, you know what the greatest Kiddush Hashem would be? If I heal Naaman and I don't take any payment for it. If I heal him and I don't take any payment for it, then there will be a massive Kiddush Hashem and you should get rid of the Saras of Naaman for that reason. And the Sultan agreed. He said, good. Good deal. I'll take away the Tzaraas of Naaman, and it won't go anywhere. I'll be mevatelit in order for this Kiddush Hashem to happen. In order for everybody to say, wow, there is a God in Yisrael. And when he came up to Elisha and said, what kind of rewards do you want? Elisha said, I don't want a reward. To make a Kiddush Hashem. What did Gehazi do? He ran to go get a reward. So when he went to go get a reward, the Kiddush Hashem was minimized. Oh, Elisha really did it for money. He's just a regular worker of, you know, a magical guy. He has magics and he gets rid of things for people and he gets paid for it. That's what this guy does. It's not a Kiddush Hashem anymore. So something at a Taino. I want my Tzaraas back. I want to put my Tzaraas back. So Elisha said, Gehazi, it's going to you. You caused the Sultan's Taino to come back. Now that Tzaraas is hanging in the air waiting to be put on somebody. You're getting it instead. You and all of your children. And Gehazi got the Tzaraas because it had to be traded. It no longer could be Batal.
Of
a non-Jew, which should have been Batal entirely. Had Gehazi not gone anywhere, it would have been Batal entirely and nobody would have gotten it. Okay, I got to tell you guys one quick story. One quick story, and this is how we're going to end. There's a story with a chassid by the name of Reb Tzvi Aryeh from Alek. Reb Tzvi Aryeh of Alek was a tremendous chassid. He had tremendous stories about him. He knew Kabbalah backwards and forwards. So there was a plague that was going through Alek, and it was only affecting the Jews. And the Jewish people were dying one after the other. Every house had a dead person in it. Every house had one or two or three. People were coming to the Tzvi Aryeh and telling him, I have three children dead, my husband's dead, this person died. They had a huge plague, and none of the Goyim were affected by it. None of the Goyim were affected. Tzvi Aryeh said, listen, we got to make a kapara. I'm going to make some type of a pidyo. Collect 160 crowns. The crown was a large coin that was used at the time. Collect 160 crowns from all the Jews, and it was a large amount of money, and get a guy to disperse all the crowns among the non-Jewish section of the city of Alek. Put the crowns everywhere. So they gave the crowns over to Reb Tzvi Aryeh. He sat in his room and he did whatever he needed to do for his pidyo nefesh. We don't know how this thing works. And he took the crowns and he gave it over to a certain Jew and he said to the Jew, disperse them among all the other non-Jewish houses in Alek. So he did that. He gave out all the crowns, and immediately, as soon as the crowns were picked up by the non-Jews who saw, the Jews are giving out their money. The Jews are going crazy. all the non-Jews started picking it up. Immediately the Jews stopped dying and the Goyim started dying. People in each house started to die. So the priest was watching the whole thing happening. This priest, who was a rabid anti-Semite, saw exactly what happened, and he said, the Jews made us have this plague. They made the plague happen to us through their magics and through their kishuv. They made the plague come back to us. So he decided he was going to start a pogrom. But the mayor of Alek loved Rav Tzvi Aryeh. He treated Rav Tzvi Aryeh with tremendous respect, and he told the priest, there will be no pogroms until we judge the case. So they called everybody into the courthouse, and the mayor was the chief judge of the town. There were two other judges with him. And the mayor sat down and he said, we are now going to discuss the taina of the priest that the Jews gave their plague over to the Goyim. But I don't want to hear any magical stories of coins being traded or anything like that. I don't want to hear any magic. I don't believe in magic. The priest didn't know what to say. His whole taina was that there was some magic done that they somehow traded the plague through the coins. So he said to the judge, listen, I don't know. But Lamaisa, what happened was, Rav Tzvi Aryeh went into his room with these coins and came out and gave the coins to the Goyim, and immediately the plague switched from the Jews to the Goyim. So something must have happened. So the mayor says, so let me understand this straight. What you're saying is that the coins that they gave you caused the plague to come to you. He said, yes. So the mayor banged his gavel. They said, my stock is the Goyim have to give back all the coins that they took from the Jews back to the Jews. All the coins have to be returned, and that should be the psak halacha. So they returned it. The Jews stopped dying. The Goyim continued to die, and the Jews got their money back. Crazy story, no? I read it two nights ago when I was there, and then I saw this whole thing about chilupin and trading it over the tzaras from one nation to the other, and I realized I could say it with the exact same story. I have no idea what this means, why they wanted to. Obviously, the priest was a rabid anti-Semite. Maybe they gave it over to the most biggest anti-Semites in the non-Jewish city. I have no idea. But like I said, that's a crazy story. That's an absolute crazy story. Shir Shavalek. He was a holy year. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good job. The non-Jews, they might have a way, but I don't think they know how to heal leprosy. You know how to heal leprosy?
Does it just go away? I don't know.
I think there's leper colonies. I'm sure there are ways of healing a little bit of leprosy.
Even now?
Yeah, there's a leper colony here as well.
That will work.
Yeah. There's places all over the place. I don't know. Maybe there's ways of making it easier for them. Maybe they cut off skin. Maybe they do like skin grafts. But you can't heal psoriasis or the leprosy that they have.
We were more talking about the fear of the what's it called psoriasis.
So the one that you can't get rid of is